Hi, everybody. Welcome to Evolve and our tech series, where we focus on the evolution of technology.
Things have changed, yet we evolve and adapt. But what's next, and what's next for you? Evolve focuses on the intersection of leadership, technology, and workplace. Don't get left behind. Join us in this evolution. Rise and evolve with us.
I'm Kim Ford, your host, and today I have a very special guest. Dylan, can you please take a minute to introduce yourself and your company?
Definitely, and thank you so much for having me on today, Kim. A pleasure to speak with you. My name is Dylan Liu, and I'm the CEO and co-founder of Ecotone Renewables. My background is in material science and engineering, so I'm the business leader, but also the engineer behind our technology. With career experience working for NASA on protective coatings for lunar landers and GE Renewables solving fleet-wide failure analysis problems. So really excited to be working and leading our hardware company. Been extraordinary to see our growth over the past 2 years especially, and happy to dive into any questions that you have for today, Kim.
Yeah, absolutely. Can we start by talking about what is Ecotone? What does that mean? How does it work?
Great question. So I'll start with the definition of an ecotone, because it's actually a real physical ecosystem. So an ecotone is the border between two different ecosystems. So I think like a good example that I think about is if you think about like a nice sandy beach and there's like a jungle or a forest, there's going to be like a small in-between area that's going to be like some bushes, some small plants, that's that in-between transition zone between two ecosystems. And that is what is an ecotone. And that's really what our company, Ecotone Renewables, takes into both rural and urban communities, is kind of connecting them and drawing that connection point between human daily life and nature. And we do that through the technology we're deploying here in Pittsburgh, but eventually across the U.S. But that's kind of a little bit of background on the name, where our company name comes from, and what it really means too.
That's awesome. So would you like say that's like a transition area? You know, exactly. It's that between, right? If you're walking between a beach and even an urban area, right? It's this unique kind of transition period where, you know, one's not the other, right? You have to enter some type of zone. That's really interesting. And you're in the business of something called a digester. And I know when we originally met, I never heard of a digester before. Yeah. Do you mind kind of sharing with us what a digester is and where are they? What do they do?
Definitely. Yeah. So we've built what we call our Zeus digesters. That stands for the Zero Emission Upcycling System. And it uses a technology called anaerobic digestion. And it's a complicated term, but it's very simple. And it's basically biomimicry. So mimicking what our stomachs and what animal stomachs do, which is using really healthy bacteria and microbes and fungi to break down food waste into digestible forms. And so this technology, as like a baseline, is not brand new, that there's plenty of large scale digestion systems across the world, especially in Germany. Nearby Ohio also has some really large digesters built by AgStar, is one of the companies. And we're also starting to see very small scale digesters, basically for like a home countertop. But what we've really noticed is a large gap in the market is for small and medium-sized businesses that are currently paying to have their waste hauled to landfill and don't have any on-site waste processing solutions. So that's really like the purpose of where our digester comes in, is we actually place it right next to a restaurant, grocery store, apartment building, and process all of their food waste on-site for them. And again, this is using, it's all contained within an 8x20-foot shipping container. So that's the blueprint. And it's all processing the food waste, again, using these bacteria and microbes over about a 3-week period.
That's awesome. So what actually, you know, obviously you have this shipping container sitting there and it goes to work as food waste is put into the shipping container. What, so does it just go away? What happens to it? I mean...
So that's really where our company makes about 85% of our revenue stream is actually through fertilizer generation. So really our mission as a company is to eliminate food waste. And we do this by converting food waste into a powerful organic fertilizer that is a earth healing, basically a probiotic for the soil that helps improve long-term soil health. So there's two main byproducts from the food waste we put into the system. The first is that liquid fertilizer, which we then sell and distribute to local farmers, community gardens, even home growers, people with a few houseplants or home gardens. And the second byproduct is biogas. So we actually capture, purify that biogas and use it to run our system. And so it's actually generating energy and electricity to power itself.
Wow. So when you think through this compost, right? So, you know, a traditional person, most people know what composting is, especially in California, right? In Pittsburgh, not so sure. What is it? Probably maybe 40%, even less. And so would this be just like this gigantic composter that's doing a lot? I mean, is that a good way to simplify it?
Similar, but I would say that there definitely are some key differentiators. So the first is our process is really fast.
Okay.
So again, it's usually around like a 20, sometimes even like a 18 day process, where composting sometimes, especially over the winter, can take over 6 months.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Typically, like a well aerated compost pile can be a lot faster, but our system is typically a lot faster than composting, and it's all contained within the shipping container. So you don't have any sort of pest odor issues, which for restaurants, apartments, grocery stores is a really critical issue for them. So we're actually, besides being contained within a shipping container, it's all also within totes, bags, different pipes. And so this is actually what makes sure that there isn't sort of any exposed air. And that's really where that anaerobic comes from, is it means no oxygen. And so it's actually helpful that our process doesn't need any oxygen to operate. So we make sure it's all very well contained and sealed, so we don't have any sort of odor and pest issues, which again is a really big help for a lot of our customers.
Yeah, makes sense. Now, who would be your customer? Like, can you give us an example of a typical customer?
Yeah, definitely. So right now we're working with Industry Public House. It is a great local restaurant here in Pittsburgh with two different locations. We also have a digester located in Swissvale that has customers of 412 Food Rescue and the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. So these are both really amazing food redistribution nonprofits that try to eliminate food waste from the get-go. So they're actually trying to make sure that food that is good and edible gets eaten, but there's always some amount of food that already arrives to them or during transportation goes bad. And so that's really where we come in as a safety net to sustainably process all that food waste.
Wow. And can a digester help impact somebody's ESG initiatives?
It definitely can. I would start by saying, though, that food waste is bad for business, and eliminating food waste is good for business and the bottom line for a business owner, where, yes, we have really strong ESG benefits. We're diverting about 120 tons of CO2 per year per system. And again, eliminating their food waste on site, reducing transportation emissions. But I'd say like all of these are amazing benefits, but as business owners, and you very well know this as well, is like we are very busy in just keeping our business alive and up and running. And that's really what we've been trying to focus on as a company is sustainability is amazing and we should have that in all aspects of life, but we have to make it profitable for business owners to adopt. And that's what we've been able to do. And I think that's been one of the keys to our success.
Sure. And let's talk about technology. How is technology, like I think of, right? I think of this box, this unit outside, and I think, how does technology have anything to do with it whatsoever?
Yeah, great question. So really our technology comes in automating the entire process, where we very well know food waste is like a smelly, gross problem no one wants to deal with. And right now, food waste is processed through very manual processes. Even if it's just dumped in a landfill, you're still putting it in a garbage can, dragging that to the road, the garbage trucks driving that on average about 300 miles away to the nearest landfill and dumping that. And again, these are all like very manual, very physical processes. So we've actually used technology to make our user experience for our digesters walking up to a shipping container. There's a trash chute built in the front of the container. You open the trash chute, throw your food waste in, and walk away and never think about it again. And obviously there's a lot of technology inside the shipping container that allows that to happen. But that's really the key, is we're trying to make it as easy as possible and affordable as possible for people to sustainably get their food waste processed.
Yeah, that makes sense. Talk about the soil sauce, right? The soil, what and where can you buy it? Like, can people just go to a store and purchase this great soil that you're now producing from food waste?
Yes, definitely. So you can buy it on our website, ecotonerenewables.com. We are also at over 24 retail locations, including both Plant City stores right here in Pittsburgh. And actually just today, we're officially launched on the Harvey Door Delivery website.
Oh, that's great.
So they have an amazing subscription service for residents in Pittsburgh. So you can actually get soil sauce delivered right to your door through that as well.
I love it. And I'm a huge fan of Harvey Farms, and I think they're great guys. And I get so excited every Wednesday when my box appears, but I'm one of those super bad customers that forgets to put my old box out. So I have this collection of boxes. Don't tell Simon.
I won't. Lips are
sealed. Yeah, please. And what companies do you think would find the most value out of a digester? I mean, obviously restaurants, but you know, I think one of the limitations, right, would be space. So you have to have a restaurant that has enough room to fit the digester, correct? Like,
exactly. Yeah. So right now it's an 8x20 foot blueprint. So that has helped us like narrow down our focus on potential prospects of locations. But I think that's something we've noticed, especially here in Pittsburgh, but across the US as we start speaking with business owners, is this doesn't need to be like paved parking space. This can be a little patch of grass. That's what we've used at Industry Public House, is they basically had like a little grassy area that they didn't use. They had no purpose for it. And so we basically just placed the digester strategically right there. So I think that there's ways, you're right, is like some businesses just don't physically have that space, especially if they're like side by side with other businesses. But there's ways for us to kind of like finesse our way and place a digester in especially land that isn't currently being used.
Right. I even wonder if there's an angle of like a community digester where, you know, there could be some type of medium where they place it into this bin and then they take the bin to the community digester that's, you know, for multiple people, not just one. I mean, that type of use seems like it's very reasonable. Even if you took an office building that actually has a restaurant, to me, that's just such a great, especially we have office buildings that are LEED certified, or we have, you know, well, and they care, right? They matter. And sustainability is such a huge topic. How did you even come up with a solution for waste? Like, what made you think, hey, I want to try to solve this problem?
I think that I've always been very much a foodie. My family can attest to that, is always obsessed with eating food, first of all, but also cooking it. And I think that's really where a lot of my love for Pittsburgh comes in as well, is we are a foodie city here.
Oh, yes.
And I think that I've also just grown up seeing, hearing, and reading how global warming's already affecting millions of people around the world. We've seen that in the unprecedented floods in various countries across the world, droughts, heat waves. And that's something that, like, we know this is an acute issue today. It's, yes, it's a long-term risk as well, but I think that's really where I find purpose and passion in the work that I do. And I think that leading Ecotone Renewables has kind of been like the perfect combination of both interests and passions that I personally have. And I actually joined what would become our Ecotone team and family just over 5 years ago, right when we were making our first pivot away from aquaponics and towards solving food waste. And so our original co-founders worked very closely with one of our technology partners to build our first manual digester. And that was really the first time I saw this technology, and I think fully started to realize the potential that it had. And leading the company as CEO over the past 2 years, my focus has really been on improving that how of like, how are we doing it? What's the execution of it? And the automation technology has really been one of the keys to that.
Absolutely. Well, as a CEO and obviously a founder in many ways, what advice would you give to other CEOs right now as they kind of try to figure out, you know, we have inflation, we have supply chain issues, we have just a lot of turmoil with war and elections and just crazy, like what advice? Do you have any that you could share?
I would say like biggest thing is ask for help. I think a lot of the times, especially as business leaders, we think that we can do everything on our own, and we probably can. But I think that like tapping into the networks and resources that we have available and starting to create your own community is really one of the keys to surviving in this absolutely crazy world that we're living in. And so I'd say that that's, I think, one of the keys, whether it's potential partners you're reaching out to or even other CEOs. I think that's something that's been really helpful is speaking with other co-founders, because a lot of us go through very similar issues building and scaling companies. Yeah. So I'd say that like reaching out, asking for help, providing your own resources when you can as well. I think building that community within business leaders, startups, sustainability, even just our regional Pittsburgh community as well, I think has been really helpful.
Yeah, we have a great ecosystem here. It's amazing. That's great. I agree. Dylan, thank you so much. Our goal with Evolve is to help leaders to learn, connect, and grow together. And I can't thank you enough for spending your morning with me today. And everybody, please follow us on social media and stay tuned as we continue to evolve together. Thanks, Dylan.
Thank you very much, Kim. Pleasure to speak with you today.
Absolutely.